Okay, please don't be intimidated by the source sheet. That's just to make me look like I know what I'm talking about. We'll try to make the structure very clear and understandable, whether one wants to follow along inside, so to speak, or not. People have a tendency to get themselves in trouble with what they say, be it in our society, be it politicians, comedians. People get themselves into hot water with things that they say and then can't retract or can't clarify. We as Torah observant Jews who strive assiduously to live by the dictates and the mitzvahs of the Torah, of course know that we have a lot of halachos, a lot of guidance as to what we can and cannot say, what we should and should not say. And we certainly don't speak nivel peh, foul speech. We don't speak oaths and promises loosely. We take that very seriously. We don't speak lashon hara, hopefully, about other people. And even what we say about ourselves or concerning ourselves, we're supposed to be very, very careful with. And Jews traditionally have always been so. Interesting source, just to jump ahead for one second. If you look at the second side of the source sheet, item Tes, the Sefer Hasidim, this is the Sefer Hasidim of the great Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, one of the great Rishonim. There's a Rebbe of a number of the great Rishonim, so we have almost a funny story recorded in this Sefer, the Sefer of Minhagim, insights on Tfilah, mystical insights, other things. So in the middle of Siman Tuf Pei in the Sefer Hasidim, the top of side two of the handout, Le'isha Achas Hayilah Bonim. There was a woman who had children. She used to curse them. Terrible. She apparently was temperamental, and she cursed her children. Her husband was very frustrated. Can you imagine? It's terrible. She's constantly putting curses on them. He said to his friend, "What should I do? It's a terrible thing." So the friend said, "Ani emna ena. I'll stop her. Watch this." When she would say something negative, she would say a curse. He would say, "Amen." She would say something negative. "You know, this should happen to you. I'll break your neck." "Amen." So she got angry. Amra, she said, "If I say it, I didn't mean it. But how dare you go ahead and say amen?" So the man responded, "Amar. Im tevakshu lehem tovos, omer amen, vim tevakshu lehem ra'os, omer amen umena'a." He said, "Look, whatever you say, I'm going to say amen. You want to say something nice? I'll say amen. You want to say something not nice? I'm saying amen also." So amrulo, people became aware of this practice. It's almost a comical story. I wonder if it's meant as a parable. But Amrullah, they said to this man, "If one of those curses, God forbid, would come true, you caused it. How can you do that? You want to educate someone, teach them how they should speak, but to go say amen to a curse is a terrible thing to do." Amar, he said, "It's better I should do something bad. I should sin. I should maybe even cause damage once or twice to stop this ongoing situation." And he says, "Plus, I'll tell you a little shtick." He says, "V'od kodam shani ona amen achad vareh ani omer yichyu balachash." Before I say amen, I say yichyu, which means they should live. She said something terrible, he would say, "They should live. Amen. Ona amen b'kol ram." I say they should live quietly, and then I say amen out loud. The story in the Sefer Hasidim, representative of the sentiment that we have. We were just talking to someone before. We've all heard the phrase, "Al tiftach pel l'satan." Don't open your mouth to the satan. Don't say something negative. It's an aphorism, a slogan that we've heard. Even people who are not Torah educated have likely heard of this saying. And what I'd like to do tonight is to study from the text, from where it appears in the writings of our Masorah and our Chazal, to study exactly what it means, what are the halachic parameters of it, what does this mean, the hashkafa, the outlook of Judaism is reflected by the halacha. So if we study the Gemara and see how this phrase is used, we'll come to a deeper understanding of the concept. So tonight's talk is Al Tiftach Pel Satan, protecting ourselves from from our words. I thank the person who pointed out that in the original flyer I had written protecting our sleeves. There's a little typo there. Protecting our sleeves from our mouths, which you just use a napkin. That's not much of a lecture. But protecting ourselves from our words. And the lecture is sponsored by Ron and Marguerite Warren, and by Michael and Ellen Brofman, Lila Nishmas, Michael's father, Zichrono Livracha. I thank you for your sponsorship, and I also like to thank my wife for baking and putting together the food that we just enjoyed. Okay. The point of departure, where do we find the usage of the term Al Tiftach Pe L'Satna, or Al Yiftach Adam Piv L'Satna? You shouldn't open your mouth to the Satna in Chazal. Where do you find it in the Gemara? So we have three sources where it actually appears in the Gemara. Number Aleph, the first source on the sheet. Note, it's Tanu Rabbanan. Tanu Rabbanan means what? The Brisa. We're quoting something from the Mishnaic period. It's talking about what happens, God forbid, at a Levaya, the people who are carrying the coffin, and the mourner himself. So skipping a few words there, it says that the mourner is Matzdig Alav Hasadin. The mourner recites Tzidduk Hadin, which is a recognition that God is justice, even when we don't understand it, but He is just. And the Brisa says he should say, Ribon HaOlamim, Master of the Universe, Harbei Chatosi Lefanecha, I have sinned abundantly before you, Lo Nifrata Mimeni Echad Mini Aleph, and you haven't paid me back even one in a thousand. The Brisa says a person should say, God, even though this is a sad, hard time for me, I recognize that I've sinned a thousandfold. You haven't even paid me back one thousandth of what I deserve. And then there's the Yihiratzon, the Davins that Hashem should patch up the holes in Klal Yisrael. So if you skip down to the next line, Amar Abaye, note it's Abaye who says this. Abaye is one of the rabbis of the Gemara. We'll see in every source, Abaye is the one who's going to say it. Lo mi boy leila inish lemei mahachi. Person should not say that. Okay, the Brisa said he should say, I sinned and I haven't even been paid back one thousandth of my sins. Abaye says, don't say that. The Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, chen tana mishmei de Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said, and we have a Brisa in the name of Rabbi Yossi, la'olam al yiftach adam piv la'satan. A person should never open his mouth to the satan. The Amar Rabbi Yossi, me'e kra. Rabbi Yossi says, what's the source for this? And you'll see that this is going to be a recurring phrase in the Gemara. What's the source that we're not supposed to do this? We're not supposed to say something that is condemnatory of ourselves. Shenemar, this is from the Haftarah we read of Shabbos Chazon, the beginning of the book of Yeshaya. Kimat kistom hayinu. The Navi Yeshaya says, we were almost like stone. If not that God had spared us, we would have been destroyed like the evil city of Sodom. And then the next line, the next pasuk says, "Maya hadal hu navi shimu dvar Hashem ketzinei Sodom." We say we were so evil, we almost were destroyed like stone, if not for the good grace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The next line, the navi says in the name of God, "Listen here, chiefs of stone." So we called ourselves, we're like stone. And the next thing you know, okay, you're like Sodom. Well, listen up, people of Sodom. So it's like we opened ourselves up, we gave ourselves a title, and we are going to be called by it. Yeah. Can a person say, I don't know if we should say that or not, but I'll burn for other things first. Let's see, as we study these sources, I think you can guess what my answer is going to be, but we're trying to figure out the parameters of Al Yiftach Pe L'Satan. Let's see. I hope we will get a pretty clear definition of what Chazal mean by this phrase. But where is the source of it? It's a drasha. It's derived from a pasuk. The Navi says, we were almost like Sodom. We should have been destroyed like Sodom. And then Hashem says, listen here, chiefs of Sodom. Shimu Dvar Hashem Ketzinei Sodom. That's the Gemara in Brachos. In the third parak. You skip down to item Beis. Gemara and Brachos in the ninth parak, Brachos Daf Samach. Again, Tanu Rabbanan, I emphasize this is a Brisa. A Brisa says if a person goes to a bathhouse. Now, a bathhouse is a place where there was, I guess, it's healthy but a little bit dangerous. Like everything that's healthy, it's a little bit dangerous. No pain, no gain. So the Braisa says a person who goes into the bathhouse, maybe there's a concern he'll faint or something, he says, Yehi Ratzon Lefanecha Hashem Elokai, Shetatzileni Mizeh, Kiyotze Bazeh, save me from this and from anything else. If anything bad should happen to me, Tehemi Sasi Kapar Lecholav Onosai. You're a pessimist. Let my death, this is what it's saying in the Brisa, let my death be an atonement for all of my sins. Guy's going into a bathhouse, and he's a real doomsayer. Expecting the worst. Okay, if I should, God forbid, pass away, this is what we call the vidui shivmer. A person who, God forbid, is actually dying says such a vidui, let my death be an atonement. So here, the Brisa says, a person who goes into a bathhouse should say that too. Amar Abaye says, lo lema inish hachi. You shouldn't say this. The lo listach pume l'satan. In this Gemara, he says it in Aramaic, but it's the same thing as in Hebrew. Don't open your mouth to the satan. Amar Rish Lakish, v'chein tonu v'shvei Rav Yossi, and then the rest is all the same. We have Rish Lakish saying, and as a braisa, a person shouldn't open his mouth to the satan, as we derive from the beginning of the book of Yeshaya, where they call, the Navi called them the like Sodom, and the next thing you know, they were addressed as the chiefs of Sodom. One more Gemara, skip down to item Dalid. Gemara in Ksubis, Daf Chesam Ad Beis. Our Gemara Shir should get to there soon at the rate we're going. It'll probably be a year from next Pesach, and we'll get up to it. But the Gemara in Ksubis and Daf Chesam Ad Beis tells us a story. If you look at the first two lines, you can see who it was who was talking, but somebody went to the Menachem Avil to pay a Shiva call, so to speak. And the other one said to him, go say something inspiring, say something comforting to the mourners. Look, I'm in the second paragraph in Dalit. Amar lei kum eima milsa keneged aveilim. Go say something to the mourners. Pasach v'amar. So he went ahead and he said something a little bit poetic. Acheinu hamyugoyim hamadukoyim ba'evil hazeh. Our brethren who are downtrodden or beaten in this mourning. Tenu levavchem lachkara azos. Apply yourselves to contemplate this. Zosi omedus la'ah. This is something that always has been. Nesivhu misheshes imei breshes. This is the road. This is the way it's been since creation. Rabim shosu, rabim yishtu. Many have drunk, many will drink. Kemishta rishonim, kach mishta achronim. Like the drinking of the early ones, so will be the drinking of the later ones. It means the way of the world, mortality. Many people have drunk from the cup of tragedy. Alternatively, the Marsha says we have the usage of drinking as being for somebody who's wallowing in sorrow. Tnu shecha la'oved v'yayin l'mari nefesh. It says in the book of Proverbs, give intoxicating beverages to somebody who's wallowing in sorrow. Many will drink. Many people will experience sorrow. So this person who is being Menachem Avil said, look, this is the way that mortality is a part of life. Many people have drunk, many people will drink. Okay, and he ends off with the words of Baruch Menachem Avelim. And guess who responds to this? Abaye. Amar Abaye, Rabim Shosu Lema. You want to say many people have drunk, many people have passed away? You could say that. Rabim Yishtu Lo Lema. Many people will. Don't say that. Mishter Rishonim Lema, Mishter Acharonim Olem. You want to say many people did experience this, that's okay. But don't say many will. Why? Same thing. Al Yistach Adam Tiv La Satan. Not supposed to open our mouths to the Satan. You want to say tragedies have happened? Okay, don't say there will be more. That's Al Yistach Adam Tiv La Satan. Those are three places, to my knowledge, in the Gemara where you have the usage of this phrase that a person should not open his mouth to the Satan. Incidentally, two of these sources appear in Halacha. One in Shulchan Aruch, and one of the commentators to Shulchan Aruch. Look at item Gimel. This is the Shulchan Aruch and the laws of Avelus. This is actually a chapter about the laws of paying a shiva call. There are actually halachas. The things might be good one time to have a shir on that subject. There are halachas and guidance, things that we should know. So if you look at item Gimel, it's the Shulchan Aruch Yeradeh Simin Shin Ayin Vav Sif Beis. So first, the Shulchan Aruch himself says as follows. This is a halacha to be aware of. If a person was about to pay you honor, you walked into the room and they were going to stand up. So he can say to him, shave, sit, don't stand up. Right? So if somebody gets up to shake your hand or something, he can say, sit, no, it's okay, don't get up. Ela im kain hu avel o chole, unless he is, God forbid, a mourner or an ill person. If you go in to visit a sick person, and the person starts to get up, and you want to tell him not to bother, he shouldn't bother himself or herself, don't say sit. Stay. You're not supposed to say that. D'mashma shev ba'avelus shalcha, shev b'choli shalcha. It sounds like, even though it's not what you mean, but it sounds like, stay where you are, stay in your status. It's almost like a curse. Certainly not meant that way, but it sounds like that, and we're very careful with how we speak. By the way, an ovel is not supposed to get up for somebody. He's not supposed to give kavod to, say, a Rosh Hashiva walks in and so on, but that's the previous halacha. But here the Shulchan Aruch tells us, you don't say to somebody who's in a mournful state or a bad state, stay where you are, sit down. You're not supposed to do that. Hagah, that was the Shulchan Aruch. Now, Hagah means a note from the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, the source of Ashkenazic Pesach. He adds, he appends to this, Lo Yomar Adam, a person should not say, Lo Nifrati Kafi Ma'asa. He's talking about the mourner. The mourner is sitting there, he's sitting Shiva. He shouldn't say, I haven't even been paid back per my deeds. I deserve much worse than this. Okay, Yotze Bedvarim Elu, or anything like that. Shal Yiftach Piv LaSatan. Maybe he feels he wants to be humble, or he wants to express emunah. Yes, this is mournful, but I recognize that I'm not a tzaddik, so he's going to say, I deserve even worse. Not supposed to say that. Lo Yiftach, Shal Yiftach Piv LaSatan. And that's, of course, based on the first Gemara that we saw. I would point out, the Shulchan Aruch didn't say, Al Yiftach Piv LaSatan. The Ramah did. Okay, the first line is the Shulchan Aruch himself, Rav Yosef Karo. He said, don't say to somebody who's in mourning or ill, stay. Not supposed to say that, but he didn't give a reason. He didn't apply this concept. The Ramah said, a person shouldn't say, I haven't been paid back for my averas, because Al Yiftach Piv LaSatan. I think there's a reason why only the Ramah gives that as the explanation, and not the Shulchan Aruch. We'll come back to that. Skip down to source Hay. This is the Magen Avram and the halachas of getting ready for bed. Right? There's Kriyat Shema Lamita, tefillah that people say before going to sleep. If you look a couple lines down where I bold-faced, the Magen Avram, who's a commentary on the page in Shulchan Aruch, says, in item Hay, Yesh Noagin Lomar Vidui Shchiv Meira Kodam Hashina. There's some people who say the Vidui that a person, God forbid, on his deathbed would say. Some people say that every night. Some people say, if God forbid, I should pass away, my death should be an atonement. Says the Magen Avram, V'nirali She'enam Nachon. I believe it's incorrect. Not supposed to do that. Not supposed to open your mouth to the satan, not supposed to say something that is so doomsaying, so to speak. Okay, so the Magen Avram says that the vidui for a shchiv meira, the ultimate vidui, should be kept for that occasion, or we hope the person won't be nechter, but it should be kept for somebody who's ill, seriously ill. Not, a person shouldn't say that every night when he goes to sleep. So far, so good. But the problem is that we haven't had any problems. Problems make for clarity. So far, everything is pretty much straightforward. No kashas, no terutzim, no problems, no answers. We need a good problem so we can answer the problem and then come up with greater clarity. So for a problem, take a look at Os Vav, the sixth item on the sheet. Another story. We're telling lots of stories tonight. The only difference between this and my regular stories is that these are true, but we're telling stories nonetheless. Pinchas Achva de Mar Shmuel. Pinchas, the brother of Mar Shmuel, Isra de Milsa. Something happened to him. It means a relative was Nifter. You can tell from the story it must have been either a spouse or a child. Old Shmuel, so his brother Shmuel, came with Mishal Tamamina. It means he came to pay a shiva call. He saw that his nails were long. He was growing his nails long, which in fact is the halacha. An oval doesn't cut his nails usually for the 30 days. Why didn't you cut your nails? He saw his nails, so why didn't you cut your nails? So Pinchas responded to his brother, if you were in my circumstance, would you take it so lightly? Meaning I held it's appropriate. A mourner shouldn't cut his nails. Why do you take it so lightly? If you were in my shoes, would you treat it that way? Gemara says, Havai kishkaga shiyata milifnei hashad. It was like a mistake that slipped out of the noble one's mouth. V'isra be milsa v'shmuel. And God forbid, Shmuel became an oval too. Doesn't say who was nifter, but His brother had said to him, if it would be you, and before you know it, something happened to Shmuel. Old Pinchas Achva L'Mishal Tamaminei. So now Shmuel was sitting Shiva, so his brother Pinchas came to him. Shaklinu L'Tafri Chavtinu L'Ape. This is like he threw his nails at his face. Amalei Leslach Bris Krusel Esasayim. How could you say what you said? Because of you that this happened. It's a sad story. But Shmuel says to his brother, how could you say what you said? Now notice how he puts it. You don't hold of the concept of bris krusa l'sasayim, that there is a covenant of the lips. That's the concept that Chazal referred to. You don't hold of the concept that there is a covenant of the lips, that words have power. Damar Rabbi Yochanan says, minayin shebris krusa l'sasayim. How do we know that words, the lips have power? Because, we just read this a few weeks ago, it says in the story of the Akedah, Akedas Yitzchak, right? Avram Avinu went with his son Yitzchak, and he also, the Medrash says, he brought the Aram that he brought with him, the lads he brought with him were Yishmael and Eliezer. So he says to the lads, Shvulachem Poem Achamar, stay with the donkey. Vani Vana Nechal Ka, I'm going to go with Yitzchak over there. Vinishtachel, we're going to bow, we're going to serve Hashem. Vinashuva Aleichem, we are going to return to you. We are going to return to you. Avraham Avinu didn't mean that seriously because he knew what he was going to do to Yitzchak. He knew what he was supposed to do to Yitzchak, but he didn't want to arouse the suspicion of the lads, of Yishmael and Eliezer. So he said, we're just going to daven over there, and we're going to come back to you. And what happened? Vistaya Milsa, the Hadr Travayu, against what Avraham Avinu would have fathomed, they actually did both come back. He said, we're going to come back, and in fact they came back. What do you see? Words have power. It didn't make sense. It wasn't what he was anticipating. Words have power. So Shmuel rebukes his brother Pinchas. How could you say a thing like that to me? Look what happened. Don't you know? Bris krusa l'sasayim. There's a treaty. There's a covenant with the lips. Lips have power. Now, in light of what we have learned tonight, is there anything strange about what Shmuel says to his brother Pinchas? If you were going to rebuke someone for not being careful with what they say, is there any other phrase you might have chosen to use aside from bris krusa l'sasayim? Now we're going to test if the coffee is working or not. As Hizra, I get feedback. Is there any statement or concept that would seem even more pertinent or more germane than citing the Akedas Yitzchak, the fact that Avraham Avinu said, we're going to return, and in fact they both returned? Is there any more directly relevant principle that we have in the Gemara? Yiftach Adam Pivla Satan, what's going on here? He should have said, how could you say what you said? Yiftach Pivla Satan, don't open your mouth to the sudden. We just had it three times in the Gemara. Well, all of a sudden you have a story where it's most apt, most relevant, and what does he say to him? Bris krusa l'sasayim, because when they went to Akedas Yitzchak, he said, we'll come back, and they both came back. It's the wrong phrase. It doesn't seem to be the right phrase. So we're not the first ones to ask that question. Look at Sur Zion, the Tosfos, the commentary of the Tosfos is right there on the page in Moed Katan. That's the Devar Masch, the Steinoth, the Hadar Tema. Tosfos says it's a wonder. Dilma Mida Tova Maruba. We have a principle. Good things are always stronger than bad things. Hashem's sense of mercy is always more abundant than his strict just judgment. So it could be that if we find that when Avraham Avinu said, we're going to come back, they both came back, that's because the lips are powerful for good things. But that doesn't prove they're powerful for bad things. Hashem endowed the universe with more positive forces than negative. So he says to his brother, look, lips are powerful, words are powerful. How do I know? Because when he said, we're going to come back, they both came back. He could have answered, yeah, but that was a good thing. Who says it works for a bad thing? Good things are always stronger than bad things. Mida, tova, maruba, almidas, peronias. What he should have said is, yiftach pela sudden, Ira's question. That's what he should have said. Now note, by the way, what's strange in Tosfos, and if you need a hint, I underlined it and bold-faced it. We make it very, very easy. In our Gemara, every place where you have Yiftach Pela Sutton, it's who? Abaye. Abaye is the one who keeps saying it. Tosfos comes along and says, you should have quoted Ula. who says, Al-Yiftach Pelasadin. Interestingly, the Bali HaTosus apparently had Ula as the one who says it, and not Abaye, which is striking because it's in three different places. But anyway, that's the way they had it. But this is Tosa's question. Why is he saying, Bris Kusa L'Sfasayim, lips are powerful, when he should have said, Al-Tiftach Pelasadin? Tosa does not answer the question. So we have to answer the question. Now, I thought that perhaps we could answer as follows. I pointed out at the beginning that at least in the first two sources that we read, it's a brisa. The brisa says a person should say, I sinned a lot and I wasn't even paid back 1/1000th of all of my sins. The brisa says a person who goes to a bathhouse should say, if I should die here, I'm just quoting the brisa, if I should die here, let my death be an atonement. And who responded? Abaye. Abaye is the later. He's an Amora. He's from the rabbis of the Gemara. How does Abaye dispute a brisa? A rabbi from the Gemara can't dispute a rabbi from the time of the Mishnah. The answer is Abaye also has a brisa, because he goes on to quote a brisa. But at the very least, it could be that we have two brisas that are at odds with each other. We have two opinions. One brisa said you should say it. The other brisa says you shouldn't say it. And Abaye likes the latter one. But it's a machlokas. Perhaps it's a dispute. So when Shmuel wanted to give Musar, he wanted to rebuke his brother, he wanted to take something that's undisputed, maybe. That's what I perhaps would have suggested. But the Maharsha, the famous commentary on Gemara, Rashi, and Tosus on the second side, this is not available on computer, so I had to resort to the methods of our ancestors of just using a photocopier and cutting and pasting stuff. The Maharsha in Moed Katan addresses this question. The Baal Shem Tov, the great founder of Hasidus, used to say that the Maharsha was written with Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration. And my Rebbe, Rav Kalman Epstein, who is far from Hasidus, once mentioned this in Shir. There was a difficult tosis that we were learning, and the Maharsha explained it in a certain way, which seemed somewhat convoluted. There was an easier way to answer the question, but the Maharsha kind of went like this. He gave a convoluted explanation, and many years later, pretty recently, within the last few decades, they found a manuscript that corroborated the Maharsha's explanation. For centuries, people didn't understand why he explained it in a more convoluted way. Then they found a manuscript of the Tosfos HaRosh that showed that he was really right. And I remember my Rebbe, when he was teaching us this Tosfos, he said, maybe this is one of the places where you see that the Baal Shem Tov is right, that the Maharsha was written with divine inspiration. But in any event, certainly the Maharsha is one of the great and classic commentaries on the Gemara and Rashi and Tosfos, and he has agadic explanations as well, really originally written as a separate sefer, but he explains the non-halachic parts of the Gemara too. So he addresses this question. Tosfos wants to know, we have this big question now, why did Shmuel say to his brother, Bris Kusa L'Sfasayim, the covenant of the lips? He should have said, don't open your mouth to the sudden. So I'm not going to read through it, but the Maharsha basically says two things. He says, number one, Al Tiftach Pelasotin is only when you include yourself in it. A person says something negative, something condemning, something bad to happen, and he includes himself, so to speak, in the curse. That's Al Tiftach Pelasotin. He uses the phrase, it's like a Hodoas Baldin. We have a concept in Halacha. If you bring me to court and I admit, yes, I owe you $100, so that is used against me. Now I owe the person $100. If I'm willing to say I'm bad or I've sinned, so that can be used against me. I can't make someone else obligate. I can't say, yes, I admit he owes him $100, but I can do it to myself. So it's like a hodo'as baldin. Al tiftach pelasotin is when it's about yourself. That's the first idea that he puts forth. Secondly, and this distinction I think we can see more readily, it's the second part that I underline. He says, if you look at the Gemaras we just looked at, there's two different circumstances. One is where a person says something negative about himself. A person says, I've sinned a lot. Or a person says, I might die. Again, I'm just paraphrasing the Gemaras that we saw, where a person is saying something which the simple meaning of what he's saying is something bad or something bad that might happen. Another phenomenon is where a person says something that isn't meant as something bad, but there's like a double entendre. You could interpret the words differently at a different level And if you interpret them in that different way, they mean something that is not what he means. It's like poetry. It's a deeper meaning in the words. It's not the pashut pshat. It's not the simple meaning. So when a person is in a bathhouse and says, if I should die, he means, I'm afraid I might die. If a person goes to sleep and says, should I die, he means he's saying something very frightening, very negative. But when Pinchas said to his brother, would you treat Avela so loosely, so lightly, if you were in my shoes? He didn't mean to say you should be an Avel. You shouldn't be an Avel for another 150 years. He didn't mean to say it. But since the words he said were, if it were you, he didn't mean it that way, but it can be taken that way. Says the Maharsha, that's not Al Tiftach Pe L'Satan. Al Tiftach Pe L'Satan is where you said something that means something bad will happen or should happen or I've done something bad. Yeah.
That was
seen
to be kind of
contrary
shape, so you're not
exactly. Great, that's what I probably would have forgotten, so thank you. I think that you see this in the Shulchan Aruch, as Taki just said, going back to Surah Gimel, I pointed out a distinction, a discrepancy. The Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't say to somebody who's a mourner or who's ill, stay where you are, sit there, because even though it's not what I mean, but it sounds like remain sick, God forbid, or remain in a state of mourning. He doesn't use the phrase, Al Tiftach Peh. Then the Ramah says a person shouldn't say, I've done many sins and haven't been paid back because of Al Tiftach Peh. The difference could well be, because in the Shulchan Aruch's case, it's not Al Tiftach Peh. I say to the sick person, sit down, don't bother yourself. I just mean, be comfortable, don't get up. It's a deeper meaning, you're reading into it. It says the Maharsha, that's not Al Tiftach Peh. But the Ramah is talking about where a person actually says, I'm very, very guilty, I've done terrible sins, I deserve worse than this. That's what he's saying. There's no deeper meaning there. That's what he's saying. That does fall into Al Tiftach Peh L'Satan. So that, I think, is the real answer that the Maharsha is giving. His first answer, where he says that you have to include yourself, I had a little bit of difficulty with, based on the Gemara in Ksubas, where the Gemara says, it's not appropriate to say, many have experience tragedy and many will. Not talking about yourself there. Not really, I must say, in a very general sense. So that I have a little bit of difficulty with. But the other answer seems like the stronger one, where he's saying it has to be explicitly what the person is stating. That's where it's Al Tiftach Peh L'Satan. One difficulty with this, if you turn to side 2, source Yud, the Gemara in Gittin. Gemara in Gittin quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, Ki Alecha Haragnu Kol Hayom. For you, Almighty God, we have been killed every day or been killed all day. So the Gemara interprets that homiletically to refer to a number of different things. So Reb Shimon ben Lakish, where I bold-faced there in Surah Yud, says, what does it refer to? Elu Talmidei Chachamim Shemaran Hilchos Shechita V'Atzman. Who are the people who kill themselves for God, so to speak? Well, you have to learn many things in rabbi school. It used to be, and now it's not as relevant because they do it at the plants, but it used to be one of the things that people studied was Hilchos Shechita, how to slaughter an animal in a way that's kosher. Well, it's a hands-on task. You have to know what you're doing. And sometimes they would demonstrate with a knife how Shechita, how the ritual slaughter is done. So the Gemara says, for you, Almighty, we are killed all the time, refers to Talmidei Chacham and Torah scholars who demonstrate Shechita on themselves because it's a risky practice. The Amar Rava, for Rava said, "Kol mili lechzi inish benafshe." Anything a person can demonstrate on himself. Want to show someone how to take a pulse, or I don't know, how to make funny faces. Demonstrate whatever you like, but except for one thing, bar mishchita. Except for shchita v'davar acha, which is tzaras, but for our purposes, except for shchita, don't demonstrate shchita, ritual slaughter, on yourself. Okay, you're not supposed to do that. So Rashi interprets the Gemara. Why not? Why not? Why can't I demonstrate shechita on myself? Rashi says, because you might press the knife a little bit too hard. It's dangerous. Rashi understands literally it means dangerous. Don't take a sharp knife. A shochet's knife is extremely sharp. Just don't do it. It's dangerous. We don't play with knives. But if you look at the Maharsha there, that's the second Maharsha on side to the left source on the page, where I underline. First he quotes Rashi. Rashi says, Shema yitachvenu begrono, lest he accidentally stab himself. V'yosa nira lafarish demare mazole. The Maharsha says, no, I don't think it means that he might actually accidentally hurt himself. People know how to be careful. Adults know how to be careful with knives. But rather, it's just not mazeldik. It's not good. It's ominous. Ki'inyan al yiftach adam piv lafsatan. You don't hold a knife to your neck. In fact, many people have a practice like that. We don't like to, you know, some people signal, we don't do that. We don't hold knives to our neck, even as a joke. It's not considered mazeldik. Says the Maharsha, like the concept of what? Al yiftach adam piv lafsatan. Now here, it seems to me, the Maharsha is almost contradicting himself. Because he said before, al yiftach adam piv lafsatan is where a person explicitly says, I'm guilty, I deserve worse. I'm going to die, something like that, but where it's only like an illusion, where it's something, a deeper meaning, that's not al yiftach adam pelasad, and that's how we answered the original question. So I think what you have to say, that's why he says ki inyan, this is like al tiftach pelasad. Why didn't he say it is al tiftach pelasad? The answer is there are a lot of similar concepts, but I believe the strict definition of al tiftach pelasad is where a person says explicitly something that connotes something bad should happen. Where it's only symbolic, holding a knife to his neck, it just doesn't look nice, it's just ominous. That's similar, but that's not the strict definition of al tiftach pel lasatan. So I think we've defended or helped to work out the definition together given by the Ramah. Al tiftach pel lasatan means a person shouldn't say explicitly something bad should, or I'm deserving, or will happen to me, or imply it pretty openly. A couple of questions. Look at Source Yud Aleph. I don't have to turn to Gemara to ask questions. Turn to David HaMelech. Yud Aleph, chapter 103 in Tehillim. Lo kachata enu osa lanu, velo kaavonu seinu gamal aleinu. He has not done to us as per our sins, and he has not paid us back for our iniquities. David HaMelech, Tehillim, we say it all the time. Many of our tefillos are based on this pasuk. David HaMelech did it. He said he hasn't paid us back as per our sins. So I think the answer here is, al tiftach pel lasatan is only when you say something that's something novel, that's something new. If a person says, I've sinned, and I have abundant sins, and I haven't been paid back even 1/1,000th of what I deserve. All right, that's a little bit shocking. But for David HaMelech to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't punished us per our averus, we know that. That's what Midas HaRachamim is. That's what God's mercy is. That's we're not making ourselves more guilty than is already obvious. It's only when you say something, I deserve something terrible. Therefore, I believe the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah mentions that he's talking about a person who's sitting shiva, who's in, God forbid, a very sad state, a tragedy, or something sad has happened, and he says, I haven't been paid for my averus. In that circumstance, to say, I haven't been paid back for my averus, that's self-condemning. That's saying something that's too strong. But to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't punished us per our averus, the Torah is full of that. That we know. That's what it means when we say that Hashem is Kel Malei Rachamim. That's not a chiddush, and therefore, I believe to further fine-tune the definition of Al Tiftach Pel Lasatan, it's only when you say something novel, not when you say something that's obvious. A number of months ago, I quoted in Shul here a letter from Rav Yitzchak Huttner, a letter of encouragement to a young person who wrote that he was having struggles, and Rav Huttner says, don't worry, that's exactly how you get to be greater, and he has a line there, you've had struggles and you will have struggles. And then he writes in parentheses, as I recall, and that's not the prohibition of Al Tiftach Pel Lasatan. He said, I'm telling you, you will have struggles and I'm not in violation of Al Tiftach Pel Lasatan. Why not? He didn't explain. Why not? He says, because it's obvious. Every person has struggles. To say, I deserve a thousandfold of what I've got, that's Al Tiftach Pel. But to say, I'll have struggles, everyone's going to have struggles. To say we collectively have more averus than Hashem has punished us for, that's not al tiftach pel lasatan. It's only when you say it in a surprising way, you go beyond, that is when it's a violation of al tiftach pel lasatan. I also just want to clarify source ches. You see, the Sefer Hasidim seems to define bris krusa l'tzfasayim as a more general concept, and al tiftach pel lasatan is a subcategory. Bris krusa l'tzfasayim, the lips have power, that's a general concept. Words are powerful. a subcategory of that is al tiftach pelasad. And if you look at his wording there, he says the first as a general category. He says, therefore, al yiftach adam piv lasad. I think it's helpful in understanding the concept. Just two other places where we find this in halacha very briefly. Benching gomel, a person who has been through a trying or difficult or dangerous circumstance. So we have a berachas ha-gomel. Recite the bracha of gomel. We have an abbreviation, chayim. V'chol ha-chayim yaducho sela. Chayim stands for chavush yam yisurim midbar. A person who was chavush, who was in jail, or crossed the sea, yam yisurim, or he was ill, he suffered, or midbar, or he traversed the desert. And we Ashkenazim apply that to other similar circumstances, many people when they travel. Such a person benches gomel. He thanks Hashem that nothing bad happened, or that I came out of this illness or this trying circumstance. There's a question in halacha, should a child bench gomel? God forbid a child was in a precarious situation, but he was delivered therefrom, he came out unscathed, he came out okay, or he was ill and he got better. Should a child say the bracha of Agomel Achayavim Tovos Shegmalani Kol Tov? So many poskim say no. The Magen Avraham, and this I just wrote at the end as a source to look at, the Magen Avraham in Shulchan Aruch says that a child does not bench gomel, does not say this bracha. Why? Because what's the text of the bracha? Hagomel l'chayovim tovos. God who bestows or who grants to people who are really guilty good things. What am I saying when I'm benching gomel? I was really guilty. I maybe deserved for something not so good to happen. But Hashem does good for me anyway. By the way, Berachas HaGomel has to be where a person was in a dangerous situation, not a near miss. Famous story, a person called up the great Pesach Rav Dick from Brooklyn, and he said, yeah, something bad almost happened. If the timing would have been different, then I could have been in an accident. And he said, should I bench Gomel? And he said, no. He said to him, if your pants fall off the clothesline, do you bench Gomel? So what kind of question is that? So, well, if you would have been wearing them, you would have broken your leg. So, you don't bench gomel in that circumstance. But in any event, that's what a number of the poskim, Magen Avraham quotes it. They say a child doesn't bench gomel. Why? Because a child is not guilty. Before he's a bar mitzvah or a bas mitzvah, you can't say he was chayiv, he was deserving. He's not punishable. He's a child. He's not held to, we train them properly, but they're not held to the standards, to the requirements of the Torah. So you can't say, I'm really guilty, but Hashem does tovos. Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes poskim who say, no, a child does bench gomel. And he says, the premise is wrong. He says, l'chayovim does not mean to guilty people. He says, you know how I know? Because al tiftach pe lasotan. We would never have a bracha where you say, Hashem, a person was in this precarious situation or he was sick, and I was really guilty, something terrible should have happened, but you did good to me anyway. Rabbi Akiva Eger says that can't be what the bracha means because we would never say such a thing. It's al tiftach pe lasotan. He says, rather, chayovim just means, a chova can mean a debt. We owe to Hashem. We who owe him things, he's done so much good for us, and we owe him. Even though we're in debt, he does good for us, and then we owe him even more. He says, but chayiv, you can be chayiv l'shalim. I'm obligated to pay, not guilty in the sense of guilty of punishment, but guilty, I'm guilty, I owe Hashem a debt of gratitude. He says, that's what it means, because if it meant the other thing, nobody would say it. We would never say such a bracha. So that's another place where an interpretation of the use of al tiftach pe lasotan has an interesting ramification in halacha. Just one other brief thing. When we say yizkor in shul in the last days of Yom Tov, so the minhag is that people who have living parents go out of the shul. That's the minhag, pretty much a universal minhag. I saw interesting, Rav Hirschel Schechter in his sefer Nefesh HaRav quotes Rav Soloveitchik. He actually cites the following story about Rav Soloveitchik, that when Rav Soloveitchik would daven in a shul, let's say he davened mincha already, and the tzibur was going to daven mincha, but he's already davened, he would step out in the hall. He would come sometimes Friday to a shtibul where they were going to daven mincha, he davened an earlier mincha, he would step out. He wouldn't stand there for Shemona Esrei. This is based on a Gemara in Brachos that says a person who's tamei and can't say Kriya Shema, so he has to at least think Kriya Shema when everyone else is saying it. The Gemara says, what's the point of thinking it? You don't fulfill the mitzvah that way. The Gemara says, because it shouldn't be that everyone else is saying Shema and he's idle. It's not appropriate when everyone is davening and one person is idle. So that's I-D-L-E. Idols, for sure, we shouldn't. But a person should not, when everyone else is being Makabal Ol Malchus Shamayim, someone shouldn't stand out and not be doing so. So he would step out. And he, Rav Shechter Petina, I don't know if Rav Soloveitchik said this, but this is his own elaboration. He says, that's why the people who don't say Yisker go out of the shul, because everyone else is saying a tefillah, and the people who Baruch Hashem don't have to say it. It's not appropriate that they should sit there and not say it when everyone else is saying it. And I saw in an English article that he wrote, Rav Shechter, he says, and people make a mistake. They think that the reason has to do with Al Tiftach Pelis Sutton, that it doesn't look good for them to be there. He says, but the real explanation is just that if they're not saying the tefillah, it's not appropriate for them to be present. So I found actually that one could suggest with that explanation, but in the Sefer Otzer Dinim Minhagim, which is a classic Sefer of why we have certain Minhagim, and the Tzitzeliezer quotes it as well, under the entry of Hatzkaras Neshamos, Yizkar, he says, V'noagim l'shloach l'chutz al'ulam be'sakneses, we send outside or to the hallway the people, sheishlam avos, parents, and even if they're adults, v'gam gedolim sheishlam avayim chayim, l'si shenemar bris krusa l'sfasayim, u'kedei shal yiftach tel l'sotin. He says, for these reasons. So some poskim apparently do give this as the reason for that minhag. It could be more than one reason, too, but this might be another example of where Al Tiftach Pe L'Sotan has ramification on halacha. You have a question?
Yeah, but it doesn't have to do with when people who have living parents, to the other part about during a regular prayer service and somebody who's already done the Shema. That doesn't apply to women, just men, right?
Well, the truth is, if you're in a shul and they're saying Shema, we actually, the halachas are supposed to say Shema out loud. When the tzibur gets up, when the congregation gets up to Shema, they all say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The halacha actually is, even if you said it already, even if you're up to a different point in davening, you're supposed to respond and say just the first line at that point. Because when the congregation is saying Shema Yisrael, we're all supposed to say it. And in fact, if you're up to a point, part of davening where you're not allowed to interrupt, you fake it. I'm in the middle of. If the, when the congregation gets up to it and everyone says Shema Yisrael, the person should say it too. And if they're at a point where they can't, in the middle of davening where you're not supposed to interrupt, so the halacha says that whatever you happen to be davening, cover your eyes and say it out loud. Whatever you say, you're supposed to look, you're not supposed to stand out because everyone's accepting the yoke of heaven and we're supposed to all do it together. So there is actually, it's interesting, but there's a halach. I believe so, yeah. Yeah, we all, women don't have the obligation to say Shema the way men do in the morning and at night, but when you're in a shul and people are saying it, this is an issue of not standing out. Men have an obligation to say Shema every morning before the third hour of the day, and at nighttime, that's an obligation on men. But when we're together, when we're in shul, no one should stand out when the tzibur is saying Kriyas Shema. One other source, the Pele Yoetz, which is a Musar Sefer, which follows the Aleph phase. So in the letter Dalet, he talks about Dibur. He talks about this concept. He says you have to be very careful with Al Tiftach Pele Sudden. He tells a story that there was a chacham who had a guest, and the guest was leaving. He escorted him, and then they parted ways. He said goodbye, and then he remembered he wanted to tell him something. He says, you have to be very careful and listen to this story. He remembered that he wanted to tell something. The man had already left. He says like this. V'asa levai, he went with him. V'achar shenifrat haholech, after the person had left him. V'holech mirachok, he's already 100 yards away. He remembered that he wanted to tell him something. He called him. So the man started walking back. Then he felt bad. I'm bothering him. He just walked. Now I'm making him walk back. So he was about to say, no, don't come back. Then he says, he realized, don't come back. Doesn't sound nice. So, v'tekef nizker ki lo tov lomar kein laholach l'derech. Somebody's going on the way, you don't say to him, don't come back. Again, he didn't mean it that way, which, by the way, is why I also say he doesn't mean that this literally falls under the rubric of al tiftach peh, but a similar concept. So instead, he said, v'amalo hamtein, wait. He just said, wait. He didn't want to say, don't come back. He said, wait, because he didn't want to say that. And he said, similarly, if a person says, I'm not going to do this anymore, person wants to say, you know, I'm not going to do a certain thing anymore, he should say, by gesunden Leben. So that was there. With good health, I'm not going to do this anymore. Because I'm not going to do this anymore, God forbid, could mean for numerous reasons. So I'm quitting cold turkey. I'm not doing this anymore. With good health. That's the way Jews should speak. And he says at the end, Zrizus Navili De Zahiris. We have to get used to it. We have to train ourselves to talk this way, says the Peleos, but we should be very careful. Just to sum up, I mentioned that the Marsha explains this concept of Al Tiftach Peh L'Satan as being a Hodoas Baal Din. If I say something negative about myself, self-condemnatory, it's as if I admitted it should happen. What does that mean? It's as if I said it should happen. Rav Dessler, Rav Eliyahu Dessler in the Mechtav Melio, is a very beautiful few pages on this and related concepts. He says as follows. He says, Chashivas Gedola Yesh Bozeshin Yisrachem Yibituyim Gassim. There's great significance in being careful not to use coarse expressions. He doesn't mean foul language or coarse language. Lo Medubar Kan B'Nivul Peh V'Shar Dibur Masurim Chasra. He's not talking about real foul language. That's obvious. Ela Ba'adbinus Habitui Gamba Meshu Heter Gamar. You're just being very refined in how we speak, even things that are absolutely permissible to say. As the Gemara points out in Maseches Pesachim, that the Torah said, an animal that is not tahora, that is not pure, rather than saying it's tameh, it's impure, the Pasuk says extra words just to show us, to make the point that we should say things in a refined way. You'll notice great people don't use harsh terms. I'm not talking about bad terms. You know, this is a piece of junk. I never heard my Rashiva say, this is a piece of junk. He's a pig. Not also to say that, but even the Gemara doesn't use the word pig. It says Devarach, something else. Using harsh terminology is something that you don't find among great people. And Rav Dessler says, Kol ze bolul amdenu ki dakus havchonos ha'adinah shebedibur bo'am imkar p'nimi shebenefesh. Speaking in a soft and refined way is a manifestation of refined character. It indicates that there's no impurity in the heart. And he explains that that's the idea behind Al Tiftach Peh L'Satan. What's so bad? What do you mean? If I say, you know, people say, I'm going to die, I'm going to break my neck, I didn't really mean it. Why should that cause anything bad, God forbid, to happen? He says, if a person can speak like that, it means one of two things. Either he doesn't take his life seriously, his well-being seriously, or he doesn't take words seriously. Either one is not good. When we get up to Davin, we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to listen to the words that we say. How do I expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take my words seriously? Rifa'inu Hashem v'nei rafe. Everyone who's ill should be healed. If I don't take my own words seriously, I'm willing to, you know, rattle off something that's bad, and I say as if it's going to happen. If I don't take the word seriously, so how do I expect Hashem to take my word seriously? He says, therefore, being careful, being sensitive, and not saying things that are bad shows that we value our well-being, the well-being of those around us, and it shows that we value words. Some Jews have a practice. They won't say, God forbid, a terrible disease. They won't say the name. They won't say somebody mocking them. What, afraid to say the name of a disease? So I think if we understood, if we relate to the hardships of those who suffer from it, we could very well understand that sentiment. I don't want to call it a minhag, but that notion. It's a adinus hanefesh. It's a refineness, a refined character. It's a manifestation of a fine soul. It's interesting, you know, at the Pesach Seder, we say, Ditzach Adash Ba'achav. We give the acronym for the 10 plagues. Everyone wants to know, why did Rabbi Yehuda give Ditzach Adash Ba'achav, right? We have Dom, Tzardei, Akinim. Why do you have to abbreviate it? So the simple explanation is it's a mnemonic. Some say it shows you that the Makos are cyclical. It shows you something, how they're grouped. The Chassam Sofer says Rabbi Yehuda didn't want to say the names of the plagues. Blood, frogs, lice. These are terrible things. He says even the words, you know, in Lashon HaKodesh, the word has power. We don't want to even say the names of the plagues. Words have power, and the more that we recognize that, young people see it as a weakness. If a person doesn't want to use strong terminology, strong words, they see it as a weakness. But to the contrary, it shows a strength of character. It shows that a person is reserving the power of words. The more reserved I am with what I say, then when I do say a word, I must have heard of a Darrell Warren say 100 times when I was in high school, if a car is awesome, so God is not awesome, right? So if we reserve strong words for strong phenomena, then they remain that way, and that has an effect on our lives and has an effect on our tefillos. So hopefully in the zchus of being careful with our words, certainly about other people, but even about ourselves, it will bring greater efficacy to our words, and that should be a zchus for us and for all of Klal Yisrael. Thank you very much.